Welcome to the Create a Life You Love podcast. I'm your host, Chantel Cox. My purpose is to empower and lift up others who know in their heart they're meant for more. More joy, more impact, and more passion. If you're ready to make a radical transformation and create a life that you love, then you have come to the right place. Let's do this. Welcome to today's episode of Thrive Not Survive, where I connect with people from around the world and we just share what's going on that side of the world, as well as how people are really showing up and thriving during this time. So I am so excited to be here today with Diane Dimitri. Am I saying that right? I should have asked you before we went live.
Yes, that's correct. Diane Dimitri. Very good. Yes. Perfect.
So Diane is an entrepreneur. She's an author and a speaker and a master mindset mentor. And she has over 40 years of experience of teaching, speaking, and coaching, and counseling, and leading teams of people. And she's developed an experiential skill set that shifts human perspective to the master mindset of being more, doing more of what matters, and having more of what counts. So I just love everything that you're doing. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Early in the morning here, but it's a beautiful day. I live on the Gold Coast in Australia, so it's a stunning day here. We're coming into autumn. And yes, it's beautiful. So it's great to be here, Chantel. Thank you for having me and for all your organization. There's a lot of work that goes into doing these events and people don't necessarily realize it. So yes, thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for that. And just being so on the ball and communicating back and forth so that we can be here today and being flexible, because I'm in Kansas in the United States. So it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday and you're in Australia. And it's what, 7 a.m. on a Sunday?
7 a.m. on Sunday, yes.
Yeah. So I love that through technology that we can come together and do this. This is amazing.
And very soon we'll be able to do it all holographically. You know, just like Star Trek and all those things. It'll be fabulous.
Beam me up, Scotty. I want to go to Australia. that's awesome. Well, let's just kind of kick off a little bit of what's going on in Australia, kind of related to COVID. Are businesses starting to open back up? Like, where are you guys at and with things?
Yeah, we are. The restrictions have started to be lifted this coming week. This weekend, people can actually go out. I mean, we haven't had a huge lockdown like a lot of places. They've encouraged us to stay home unless we really had to go out. Of course, a number of businesses have had to shut down because they've lost all revenue. But this week, they're lifting it slightly. We still can't travel interstate. I understand in America, you've still been having domestic flights. Is that right?
I believe so.
We didn't have any. They just shut everything down here. And I think that's what sort of put a lid on it is aside from the international flights, they shut down everything. We closed our state borders and everybody's basically been told to just stay in their state, stay home, don't travel more than, 15, 20 minutes from your home just for essential services. And that was it. And so that's really put a lid on it. And so things are starting to open up this week a little more. So they're going to do it very slowly, slowly, softly, softly, I think. So we haven't been too badly hit in this country compared to some. But then I think it's because we have a lot of space around us. We don't have a lot of, big inner city living of, hundreds of thousands and millions of people in the cities. So we have a different layout of our country. And because we're not an old country, we're only, 200 odd years old. So we haven't got all of that old living space. And I think when people are really on top of each other, it makes it a lot harder. It's like New York and Italy and the UK, London. Lots of people in a small space makes it a lot harder to contain. And I think that's been on our side, our geography, as far as our cities are concerned. So, yes, we've been very fortunate.
That's great to hear. Yeah, I talked to another gentleman. He was from Australia, but he was living in South Korea. And so that was pretty interesting. And that was right when my area was starting to go you know, kind of more quarantining and the lockdown and everything was starting to happen. And then like you, things this week are starting to lessen now. So it's kind of like, okay, maybe we're about through this thing.
Yeah. It's interesting. I found it interesting how, and I write about this in my recent book, how people, so many people have found it difficult in many ways because they're so committed to being busy. They're so used to being busy, 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 that during this time they found it quite challenging to just stop and just be and use that time in introspection and reflection and you know, perhaps beginning to learn to meditate or some mindfulness. And I found that really interesting. And it's the people who are so busy being busy that has it's really rattled their cage rather than taking a breath, because it's really like it's been a time for the whole world to take a collective breath, breathe in, breathe out, and go, right, where to from here? Instead of looking back at what we've lost, it's about where to from here and how do we actually use this pause as a momentum to move us forward into having a better life individually and collectively. So, yes, it's been a fascinating time from my point of view as a teacher and a coach and a mindset mentor, watching people's responses and reactions to this. Very fascinating. And, of course, the level of fear that's actually been amped up. And people have found that really challenging. So,
Absolutely. So you are in the middle of a book launch, which is so exciting.
Yes. My, I was asked a few weeks ago, would I write a nonfiction self-help book on what's going on the coronavirus and what people can be, you know, how people can focus at home and use their isolation and their lockdown time more effectively. So I wrote a book. It came, flew out of my fingers really quickly because I've done fiction books, of course. I've done various romances and mysteries, and I've always wanted to do a self-help book. And when somebody had said to me, well, will you write one? I went, fine. And so it flew out, and it's 21 chapters that you can do over 21 days. And you can do one chapter a day. It's all designed for quick read because people like quick nowadays. Quick read, you can read each chapter in under 21 minutes. So if the kids are running around while you're in lockdown, you're going, you can just say, give me 20 minutes. Just give me 20 minutes. And you can have a coffee, sit down, read the book. And it comes with actionable exercises at the end of each chapter because I wanted to give people a resource that they could look back on. It would actually help them move forward and that they could use this time to consider, you know, what are their family values? Who are they being? What is their intention when all this is over? What's their ideal day? And to actually formulate, to focus on all of these questions, answer them within the book. If you buy a paperback, if you buy a Kindle, that's fine. You can do it in your notebook. And to go through this over 21 days so that when you come out of it, you are in many ways brand new, but you're actually the person you were born to be because you've taken time off to actually get in touch with that person again. And so I liken it to, you know, the butterfly, and that's being used a lot as a symbol of this time, because it's when that little, you know, caterpillar's inside the chrysalis, all the good stuff is going on then. That's when all the remarkable stuff is happening. And that's where we are now, inside our chrysalis. And rather than trying to fight our way out, we're better off just being in there. And there's that word again, being in there, and actually taking that time to transform ourselves so that when we come out with our inherent beauty shining and we can actually launch on those wings and take off. And so my book was a book to help people disregard the fear and give them a different perspective is what it is, rather than the limited human perspective of fear, to give them a master mindset perspective of knowing that they can be more. And that they can do more of what matters, not just be busy, but do more of what matters, and then have more of what counts in life. And so that's part of the process of what I teach, which is engage, empower, and energize. So yes, it sort of flew out of my fingers. It's out there. I'm I'm hoping that, you know, people will find great benefit in the book. I wrote it to serve people so that they didn't have to sit there and get all tensed and stressed about, oh, what's my life going to be like? And to realise that they can actually shift their perspective, and when they do, their reality shifts accordingly. So, yes, it's been great fun. It's been terrific.
That's what a timely and powerful message. I love it.
Yes.
So impressive that you were able to see the need and rise up to the challenge and just get all of it compiled and out there to the world in such a quick fashion so that it can really get in the hands of people right when they need it the most.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's sort of, it's indicative of my teachings, because I always teach and coach that you have to align with your being. You have to align. If you're not aligned within with your being, with your purpose for being here on the planet, with your mission, it doesn't matter what you do, it's never going to work. And I think that's the chunk that people miss, okay? So they do all the right stuff and they're out there and they're putting their effort in, but they're missing the connector. And the connector is connecting with your being within, getting aligned and knowing what your purpose, your mission is. And then when you follow that and you take action based on that, things happen as if miraculously. And that's all miracles are extraordinary, unexpected events. That's all they are. And so once you align, you tend to find that more miracles happen in your life because you are aligned and you go, wow. Oh, wow. And then you start really getting in touch with the omens, and you look and you listen and you lean in, and that's what happens. So I always say when I write books, I didn't really write them. Mm-hmm. I'm just the conduit. So the inspiration comes through me, and I'm just the one that takes it from here and gets it out on the keyboard. And then from there, I follow the process of how to actually bring that book to market and how to edit it and to do all those things that I know how to do as an author. But that whole, it was another wonderful exercise for me, because I went, what's happening with this book? Like, I know I'm supposed to write it. How do you want me to write it? And so it really just sort of flashed in, because I knew that 21 days is the minimum time to change a habit. And so I went, oh, right, 21 days, people like it fast, 21 chapters, 21 exercises, there we go. So that's how it all came together. Boom, boom, boom. I'm still surprised myself that it's out there within, that I wrote it in 2 weeks and it's out there, and it's like, well, there we go. Well, took that one off the list. Wasn't even on the goal list for this year. It just sort of happened. So, yeah, you have to be open to the flow, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So for someone who is maybe just starting, just to think about how do I get started with things, like obviously go buy your book and read it and take 21 days to really dive deep. But what's maybe a tip or two to share with the audience today?
I think one of the most important things to understand is that you have choice. You always have choice, and we don't tend to think this. We have choice and we are responsible. So firstly, there is always a choice in life to either experience fear or experience faith or love. And faith, when I talk about faith, isn't faith in necessarily the religious kind of faith, but it's a faith that everything's going to be fine, that the universe is on your side, the universe has got your back. And that if you have that approach and if you move forward with that approach, that yes, I'm going to choose for faith, I'm going to choose for love, and I'm going to disregard what the negative voice in my head keeps telling me, and I'm going to disregard what the circumstances seem to be telling me. So it's, for instance, if you want wealth, don't focus on poverty. Okay, you have to keep making that shift. It's a shift of perspective. It's a choice all the time. So if you're after wealth, focus on wealth. If you're after health, don't focus on illness and sickness. Focus on health. If you want happiness, focus on happiness. And so people want, but they're not willing in many ways to look at, well, where is my focus? And then people say, do you mean, but I am sick? And I say, you have a choice in your current situation, in the present moment, to shift your focus to health. And once we start shifting focus, and that's why my mission is to shift one mind at a time, one business at a time, to a master mindset. Once we start shifting the perspective and the focus, that's when we start to see our reality shift. Because it is truly, regardless of what anybody wants to say, it's a physical law of the universe, which is the law of attraction. So what we think empowers our emotions and feelings, and we become what we think and what we're feeling and our emotions and our energy. And as that happens, we will generate that in our lives. We're like a little energetic transmitters that goes, here I am, here I am, here I am. So if we're really focusing and energizing the health, wealth, and happiness, that will start to come into our reality. And of course, the big thing here is doubt for people. People go, yeah, well, I've been doing it for a week. Nothing's happened. But we've got to look at, you know, how long have you been on the planet to begin with? So it's that whole aspect of pressing on until your dreams or something better manifests. And I loved Angela Duckworth, who said she did a talk on grit and gritty people. And she described gritty people as gritty people, people who say everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end yet. And I thought, yes, how true is that? Because everything is all right in the end. And if it's not all right now, it's because you haven't reached the end yet. So that's part of grit, of staying the course, of perseverance and persistence and faith, knowing that nothing is too good to be true, nothing is too good to last, and that the world is your oyster. I often say to people, you know that old adage of a glass half full and a glass half empty? And that the optimist sees it half full and the pessimist sees the same glass half empty. That's perspective on the same situation, perspective. And then with the master mindset, I go, yes, but let's be grateful that we've got a glass in the first place. Mm. And that's another tip for people, is that they don't practice enough conscious act of gratitude, because conscious act of gratitude clears out your closet. I've said in my book, you know, use this time to get in and spring clean. If you haven't been into that closet for a while and you haven't thrown out the clothes, get in, do that. And it's the same with your thoughts and your beliefs. Get in there, spring clean. And to spring clean, that doesn't mean you ferret down into your past and drag it all up. You practice conscious act of gratitude every day for all the wonderful things and wonderful life and wonderful health and wealth and happiness that you currently have, which makes space for more. So gratitude, focus, knowing that you have a choice and being responsible for that choice, and then using that shift of perspective on a moment-by-moment basis will start the momentum. And, of course, infinite patience brings immediate results. So we have to be patient and just help. What's that song? Keep the faith. Keep the faith, and that's what it is. So there are a few tips.
I love it. Those are all phenomenal tips, and I hope people are taking notes. So I want to make sure that we say the title of your book, and then I'll also link it so that people can go find it and dig deeper with you there. And then also, I believe you have an online course, right?
Yes, yes. So the title of the book is Master Mindset. And the online course, which will be launching very shortly, probably in the next 2 weeks, is called The Master Mindset Method. And that's a really big online course. I've been teaching the material now for over 30 years that I've been doing that in live workshops. And I've now decided to take it online so I can reach more people in the world. And The Master Mindset Method is 7 weeks. And we go through the three-step proprietary process, which is to engage with your inner resources, empower yourself with certainty, and then to energize your life and business. And within this five lessons in those three core modules. So there's 15 lessons there, and then there's all the bonuses that come in between the weeks of those core modules. So it's a lot about being, doing, and having, and how to actually make that shift from a limited human perspective and to start moving forward with the master mindset so that you can create the life and the business that you desire most. And we can all do it. I mean, I was broken suicidal at 30. I mean, I took my producer to court. I came out of the entertainment industry. I took my producer to court because he sacked me for apparently being too fat because I wouldn't go to bed with him. So I took him to court. And even though there were no grounds for my dismissal, there were no laws to protect me. So I lost everything. I lost everything. I had no identity, no money, no ability to get a job because I'd been front page news as fat dancer, you know, dancer sack for being too fat. Oh, it was so humiliating. And I had nothing. So, you know, I was curled up sobbing on the bathroom floor going, well, to be or not to be. And I was seriously looking at suicide. And it was in those darkest moments, and they talk about dark moments, everybody talks about them, that I realised, no, there was more going on. I just didn't know what it was at the time. And that's what pushed me. And it was nearly like somebody put their hand in the middle of my back and pushed me and said, go on, be more. And so that started this journey. And through these last 30-odd years, that's been my journey. So I've tested all of the strategies, I've tested all of the insights, and that's why I'm doing this course now, because I've got so much to offer. There's so much there that I don't want other people to take 30 years to find out what I found out. So I'm putting the course out there, and it's called the Master Mindset Method. And if people want to know more about it, they can jump onto my website at mastermindset.com.au. Just do the Mindset Mastery Assessment. That's a free assessment that's there today. So they can jump onto my website, click yes, I want my free Mindset Mastery Assessment. That will give them a sizable document with a quiz on it to see where they are in their mindset. And then that means they're automatically on my mailing list, and we will send them out all the information when the course comes up. And I'm doing a special offer for people at the moment, so that if you want to do the course, it's a 2-for-1. So you can bring along a friend and you can do it together, which is always great, because I think it's important for people to have a buddy, you know, when you're doing things like that, that you can share the insights that you're gaining from it and you can talk about it so you don't feel quite as alone. So anyway, that's it in a nutshell. It's a big course. I love doing it. And I also teach people my 4-step meditation process that I've been doing for 30 years, because a lot of people say to me, oh, I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know. It's meditation is far easier than people think. They just get trapped in this whole limited human perspective that says, no, that can't be right. That can't be right. Mm. So there's a lot in the course. I loved filming it, of course, being an old, you know, ex-dancer on the stage. I loved all that. And yes, I'm very happy with the end product. I know it will serve you.
I love that. I love connecting with other people who have been through a personal transformation and came out on the other side stronger and better, and then didn't just stop there and be like, yeah, I did it. They look back and they say, how do I help other people do it even better than I did and easier than I did? Save them the time, save them the pain and the heartache that you went through. So I love it. Thank you.
Yeah. And we don't have to do the pain and the heartache. We don't know that in the moment because that's what's consuming us. But I liken it, both in my book, Master Mindset, and in the course, I liken it to when you're a child and you're growing up. Okay, so you're just growing up. You're just doing the normal thing and your feet get too tight for your shoes. Mm. And so they hurt. The shoes hurt. Now, we don't keep saying to our children, leave those shoes on. We get them bigger shoes. And so whenever we go through any of those big personal transformational moments in our lives, it's not that there's anything wrong. It's just that our consciousness is too big for our limited human perspective, and it's pushing and growing and expanding, and it's saying to us, come on, there's more, come with me here. You don't have to stay in this space in your life. Come with me. And so that's our option. We all have a choice. We can either choose to grow and expand as our consciousness gives us that push, or we can choose to opt out through depression and all of those other alternatives. They're all alternatives. And we can, you know, we can even go all the way out and we can, you know, choose death. But at any time we have that choice. And I'm not saying it's easy, but it's so simple. And we can actually go, damn it, I'm going to have enough faith that everything's going to be all right in the end here. And I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to hang on the ride of my life. And I'm going to kick off my old shoes, kick off my old life. And I'm going to step out on the edge of my life and I'm going to take a leap of faith, because I know that I am here for a reason, for a purpose, to actually be more than what I'm currently demonstrating.
Absolutely. Yeah, because so much more growth then happens once you, like, you're like, I was out of my comfort zone to make this growth, and now I'm stepping out on a ledge and taking the leap of faith, and then there's just huge more growth, like, you putting together the book so quickly and getting it out there. There's so much. I also have a story of transformation that I compiled in a book and launched out into the world and was terrified. Is anybody other than my mom going to read this? Are people going to hate it? And because I was so open and vulnerable with my transformation and where I was and the choices I was making prior to that wake up call of, this isn't what I want. Like, there's got to be something better. And coincidentally, it happened when I was 30 also. So I think 30 is a big.
And it can, because we live in 7 year cycles. And so every 7 years, there is a shift. And so at 28, because mine happened at 29. So at 28 is the beginning of the next 7 year cycle for our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's really when we're stepping into our more mature adulthood, right? So 21 to 28, we're in our young mature adulthood. 28 to 35 is when we're really starting to mature. And it's around that time that things can appear to be cataclysmic. So it's in there, and then it's at 42. The next one is at 42, around 40, 42. That's why people go through, you find a lot of people go through divorce, or they finally had enough, or whatever it happens to be. That's when they throw off the family trance and say, my time now. So it's interesting if you consider 7 year cycles as you move forward now and look at where you are in those 7 year cycles. Remember that the first year of the seven is like the beginning of a new cycle again. So there's new seeds being planted, maybe new thoughts going on. Then through that 7 years, you're nourishing your crop. And then as you come towards the end of that 7 year cycle, you start to harvest. So it's really interesting. You know, they say a lot of people around about 63, early 60s, a lot of people tend to have, well, not a lot, but quite a few people tend to have health issues, and people put it down to age. But it's aging. It's got nothing to do with it in my frame of reference. It's all about, well, here you are at the beginning around there, 63, you're at the end of this crop. What are you harvesting? What have you planted before then? And what are you planting now? Because there is a thought or a school of thought that says you actually don't do your greatest life work till 70.
Really?
70, yeah, 70 and onwards, because by then you have, if you've been, you know, shifting your perspective and going within and tuning in within rather than looking at without, that it's around there that you really start your greatest life work, because you have actually unlocked the wisdom to do and to be in that position to actually flourish into your greatest life work. That's what I'm still focused on. 70. 70's good. So
how empowering, how empowering is that? That's so such an empowering thought.
Oh, absolutely. And I've for many, many years have totally disregarded the idea of age. Because it's just the ego's limitation on trying to actually then weasel in and tell us that we can't. We can't. It's just another, you know, sinister voice. And of course the scientists all poo-poo me and the doctors, oh dear. And on and on and on it goes. But there are examples constantly of people who are breaking the rule of that. And that by this time this happens, and by this time this happens. I mean, I very rarely go to a doctor. I don't need to. But I went somewhere for something I can't even remember. And they said, you know, how old are you? And I said, well, I'm 63. And they said, do you take any medication? I said, no. And they were stunned. Just stunned, like, oh, you're strange, you don't take any medication. But this is the whole thing. You are your own physician. You're your best physician. If you're listening to your cues, if you're exercising, if you're doing all of those good things for yourself and value yourself, why would you be taking medication? So that's a whole different conversation. That's a whole new course, that one. Don't get me started. So there we go.
I love it. So I have to know, because when I did my transition, big divorce and just rock bottom and building myself back up when I was 30, one of the first things I did that launched me on my journey was I wanted to learn how to salsa dance. So I went to my first dance class and it just changed my life. So
you absolutely were
a dancer. What types of dancing were you doing?
Oh, I wiggled my nappy off when I was 2 in front of the radiogram. Most people wouldn't even know what a radiogram is, but nevertheless. So I wiggled my nappy right off and my parents decided to send me to ballet classes. So I started ballet when I was, I think, maybe 4 or 5, somewhere around there. And I did ballet through till I was 17. And with that, of course, I did modern and jazz, and I did a little bit of tap, but predominantly modern jazz and ballet. And then from, you know, even at a young age, I was choreographing routines. I choreographed my first routine at the church church concert when I was 11. And so from there, I was a school teacher, and I was still doing my theatre at night. You know, doing shows at night. And then at 23, I just gave up teaching and I went full time into the entertainment industry. So, and I was choreographing and directing and acting. So yes, dance just enlivens the soul. And I've been blessed in my life to be able to live a good life. And so I have my own home dance studio now, which was on the goal list for a long time. It was on the goal list and I went, no, I'm going to get that one day. And I do now. So every day I go in still at least 5 days a week, and I go in and do a dance class for myself, because I find it's actually a great moving meditation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that you've got to be still to meditate. No, you just have to be still within. You just have to still the mind. And I find when I'm dancing, because I'm so involved with the music, and I love salsa, great music, it gets you moving, that then you can get some really great ideas and epiphany. So it's great, because now I'm dancing in my home studio. If I get one of those, I go running up into my office, write it down, then go back. Because as you know, if you're getting any enlightening inspiration when you're dancing, you know that if you don't write it down, it'll be gone by the end of class. It's just disappeared, because it's just beamed in and you've got to get it down. So that's what I do as well. So I understand your love of salsa. It's great. The music's so good.
Yes. And it just launched into, because in Kansas, there's not a ton of opportunities for salsa. So I'm like, well, I want to dance like 7 days a week. Where can I go? And they're like, well, salsa class is Tuesday. I'm like, okay, so what are you doing Wednesday? I'll show up. Let's do it. So I ended up just taking all kinds of classes and just fell in love. It was all ballroom and Latin and
lovely.
Yes. I still were reaching out to the dance community and being like, oh, when all these things are lifted, like I just need, because that really centers me. I know if I'm having a rough week, if I can take time and go meet and do some social dancing.
Absolutely. It grounds your energy. So that if you're getting any stress and worry and doubts and all of this stuff that happens up here energetically in your energetic field, as soon as you dance, it channels it straight down, out through your feet, out through the ground. Ground's a wonderful thing because it will suck all the bad energy out. And you just feel fabulous. And there's nothing like that sort of music. I do a lot of Zumba at home as well. So, yeah, there's nothing like getting the whole body grooving away and it's really good for the soul. And I actually do in my master mindset method with my online course, I give all of my students a bit of a treat and take them into the dance studio. And I do a 10-minute demonstration of my warm-up, et cetera, for the students who do the course. And they can, you know, watch me online and I go through, you know, how to do this because it is important to move, you know, otherwise we'll end up being Neanderthals again. We'll all be like this from being hunched over our devices. You know, we had an old saying in the theatre because I did big Las Vegas shows here in Australia. We had an old saying, this is a really old theatre saying though. This came out of, I think, the 1930s or 40s, Ziegfeld Follies days, where you'd always say, eyes, tits and teeth, girls, eyes, tits and teeth, because it meant that if you twinkled your eyes and you put a big smile on and you lifted your chest up to the gods, that you'd actually do a better performance. But the thing is that physiologically it's true. And I don't think anybody actually realised that, because when you crinkle your eyes and put a sparkle in them and when you pull your mouth up in a smile and expose your teeth and you stand up straight, you release endorphins in your brain. So it's all part of that, that sort of stand up, eyes, tits and teeth, and you immediately feel better. You know, you don't need drugs to feel better. You've got this whole pharmacy in your own brain doing wonderful things. We just don't use it enough. So that's why I say choose a comedy rather than a big violent action film, because you'll feel better afterwards.
It's true that laughter, you know, the saying laughter is the best medicine. There's some truth to that. There's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah.
So I love that. That reminds me of, I've seen it more in the last couple of years and it aligns super well with the eyes, tits and teeth method, but where people do like the power, they're like, I'm going to do my power stance for 30 seconds and just stand here and be a superhero and feel strong and head lifted. And, you know, they tell you, okay, do that before you walk into like an interview or a big meeting or something that you're nervous about, like stand powerfully. So yeah, that all ties together.
Yes. And a smile is important because it's the smile and showing the teeth. You can't just do the grin. You got to do the big smile. And that's what releases the endorphins. Because it's really hard to be depressed if you're smiling and if you stand up straight. And you just can't do it from an energetic physiology point of view. You can't. So if you're feeling depressed, you're slumped and you're down, you know, mouth's down. And I know it sounds weird, but I had to do this myself when I was feeling really depressed for quite some time over losing my job and everything else, is standing up and smiling. And even if it's strained and forced, after a while, you do feel better because the body has its own mechanisms. It's a fabulous operating system. We all get tied up in technology and, wow, the latest phone and the latest this. But this is the best device that we have. It's wonderful. We have no idea how fabulous this is. And we're too focused, as I said, we're too focused outside ourselves all the time, outside, 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 rather than focusing within and going, you know, I'm living in the best operating system there is. What more is there to me that I can actually access?
Again, just another super empowering thought. If you choose to frame it in that sense, you're like, what else am I capable of?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you have so much that you're doing now. Do you have like a 5-year plan? Like what's next after this amazing book launch and the course and just all that?
I'm in the middle also of writing a murder mystery series, which is a lot of fun. I find fiction writing is really, really relaxing. And so I have a murder mystery series that will be coming out shortly. And I also, as far as a 5-year plan, I'm wanting to, after this course is launched, once people do the first course, the Master Mindset Method, they'll have an opportunity of coming into a private community with me, a private Facebook group, where we'll do a lot of Q&As and a lot of deeper content. But I need people to do the course firstly so that they get that basic understanding and that foundation of knowing where we're coming from. And then once they do that, they come into the Mindset Masters Facebook group. And then from there, I have other courses, of course, backlogged in my mind. I want to do one, a particular business course called Lead From Within, because for the last 12 years, I've also had a big national business here in Australia. I've got, about 120 employees in that. And so I've been doing, that's across 4 states. So, and we've, won lots of various awards, quality management, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a whole aspect of business and leadership in business that I want to put together for a course, which will be part of the Master Mindset larger umbrella. I've called it B University. So BE University. And so in B University, you'll do the Master Mindset Method as the signature course. You'll then join the Mindset Masters private Facebook group for one-on-one Q&As, diving deeper. Then you'll also have the opportunity, if you want to actually really focus in on your business and your business skills and how to lead from within, rather than being a great manager or an effective leader. I shift it around. And when I do leadership, it's always leading from within. Because the moment you lead from within, you have a different perspective. And so there'll be that one. And then I want to do another one on parenting and giving people an opportunity of shifting their perspective with parenting. Because the moment we stop seeing our children as children and start relating to them as consciousness, you shift everything in a twinkling of an eye, and you don't get the behavioural issues that you tend to get when you're trying to control, manipulate and dominate your children. So that'll never work. That will never, and it certainly won't work with this younger generation, because they've come in with a really strong purpose and a really strong mission, this group. So it's quite fascinating. I see it in my granddaughter. I see the interplay between mother, granddaughter, and then grandmother and the different perspectives. So I want to do that one as well. So there's quite a bit of backlogged there. So that'll take me for the next few years. I think that'll keep me going. And doing more of this, of course, and talking to people and podcasts and everything else. So, yeah.
Absolutely. You have such a powerful message to share. Yes, get it out in the world.
Yes, well, that's what I'm looking forward to, is getting that message out there as much as possible and letting people know that I can't really teach anybody anything. All I can do is stand as the presence of truth and just be a doorway, be a gateway for people to get in touch with themselves, with their own inner wisdom. And then from there, they then know, because it's not about learning, although it appears to be. That's how we're conditioned to believe. It's more about, and that's why I talk about an experiential skill set. All I am is a facilitator. And if I can shift the energy enough with you when we're together, when we're talking, that's the shift And that energetic shift is what connects you to your wisdom, to your truth. Because yours doesn't have to be the same as mine, because we all have our own interpretations and we're all here for different reasons and different purposes. So it's more of an energetic aspect. And, you know, people say, oh, you can't always get the same feeling doing these sorts of, you know, electronic meetings and chats. But I disagree with that, because we're all energetic beings. We live in an energetic world. So if you're ready to plug into me, I'm ready to plug into you. And we can do that energetically, because we're not just puny personality, random bodies. We are consciousness. We are energy in expression, just uniquely expressed. So that's what I'm wanting to share with people, is that there's so much more going on. And if you just are willing to even consider it, you don't have to believe it's true. Just consider it. And if you play around with it, like children play, if you play around with it, you'll start to experience it, then you're off. And so if I've been able to touch people in that way, that's a tick for me, fulfilling my purpose on the planet in this lifetime.
Yes. And I love that you feel, and it's so apparent, just the way you talk, the way you light up, your everything about you, that you are living in your purpose and you are helping others. Mm. And it's so beautiful to connect with you and see that and be a small little part of that.
Oh, no, thank you. I was just thinking, I had this vision then that you and I were doing salsa class together at some time. I thought, wouldn't that be cool? You come to Australia, we'll do a salsa class in my dance studio or whatever it happens to be. That would be so cool. But yeah, it was just a little image that flew across my mind. I thought, yeah, we'll get to that. We'll put that on the list too.
Yes. Going to Australia is on my bucket list for sure. So,
well, you know, if you're coming, you just let me know.
Absolutely.
Just let me go.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, now I've got that vision in my head. Yeah, that's
there it is. See, that's how you manifest your reality. You put it out there, and you put it out there with joy and love, and with all that, not with stress and strain, but with joy and love, and you see it as fulfillment. You know, it's wild how things happen. It really is. It's great.
So, yep, we've put it in the universe, so now it will manifest. One thing will lead to another. I love it. Thank you for listening to the Create a Life You Love podcast. I would love to hear from you about your biggest takeaways. Share them with me on Facebook or Instagram at Create a Life You Love Coaching. If you love this podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. That's it for now. Enjoy the journey.